Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. As school ended this week, it seemed appropriate to do a couple stories about young people in the community. The first interview is about a group of 19 business students from Coburg Collegiate Institute. Together, with some help, they planned, developed, produced, and marketed their very own retail-ready salsa. Over 3 months, they worked with the Business and Entrepreneurship Center Northumberland and the Ontario Agri-Food Venture Center in Colborne. These salsa kids received business training and development classes, along with expert advice on the mass production of food products. They did everything from cooking to designing logos to marketing slogans to packing boxes. Then they had to sell the 600 jars of salsa they produced. You'll hear their story from Molly Clintworth, a teacher at Coburg Collegiate Institute, and Callie Lanzo, a 17-year-old grade 12 student who participated in the salsa project. Teresia Meller, the manager at Ontario Agri-Food Venture Center, will join them. It is an example of hands-on, practical learning from inside and outside the classroom. I am so pleased to welcome to Consider This Northumberland, Molly Clintworth, a teacher at Coburg Collegiate Institute, Callie Lanzo, a student participating in the Salsa Project, Teresia Meller, manager of the Ontario Agri-Food Venture Center. Welcome, everyone, to Consider This Northumberland.
Thanks for having us.
Excited to be here.
All right. Who came up with this idea? Who would like to start? How about Molly? How did this all begin?
Sure. Well, this all started, I guess, before the semester even started. I am a firm believer in experiential education, and I was trying to think of a cool project that we could embark on in this business leadership class. And I was talking with Kaylin Copeland and Renee Hammond from the Business and Entrepreneurship Center Northumberland. And we were just kind of talking about different ideas and projects. And I had heard about the Ontario Agriculture Food Venture Center a few years ago. And it's always just kind of been in the back of my mind. I'm a food lover, and I love good food and growing your own food and that sort of thing. So it's always been an interest to me. And I was just kind of curious about what they were doing there. And just kind of out of group collaboration, the idea came up and I passed it on to my class, and they seemed excited about it and wanted to try it out. So yeah, we partnered up with Neil and Teresa, and we started talking about different options. We went and visited the center before any salsa talk started, just to get a lay of the land and see what the center was all about and different opportunities that they had. And then through collaboration, we kind of came up with the idea. And yeah, the students were definitely a big part of the interest in wanting to do something and maybe try out the center for ourselves. So yeah, I would say definitely a group collaboration in the idea generation of the salsa company.
Now, Callie, when you heard your teacher tell you this is what her idea was, how did you react?
I think it was a pretty cool idea. I mean, like, no other class in the school is going to do something like that. And I didn't expect business class to be like that. I thought it was just going to be numbers and tax and stuff like that. But this is a cool opportunity, I think.
Molly, what was the process you have to go through to get this approved?
Yeah, so here at Coburg Collegiate Institute, we're pretty lucky. We have some super supportive administration, and they're always willing to listen to our ideas and different, strategies that we have for learning or projects we want to take on. So kind of the first step is running some of our crazy ideas past the administration, and they gave the green light. They thought it was a great idea. And our school board is also super supportive of experiential learning opportunities. So the next step was to apply for an experiential learning grant through our school board. And through that process, I kind of was mentored by some of our guidance staff and our OEAP and skilled trades kind of heads that use that grant a lot too for some of their programming. And so we applied for a grant to do the program, and through the support of our administration team, our team up at the school board, and our guidance and OEAP team, we were able to come up with a successful grant application.
Callie, when you started this process, what sort of things did you have to think about even before you made your first jar of salsa?
I'd say that we have to kind of actually decide what we're going to do with this, like what we're going to actually call it, and if we're going to sell it anywhere, if we're just going to keep it within the school.
Tell me something. Did you have anything to say about whether it was salsa or peanut butter or, you know, potato chips?
I think we did bounce a few ideas around the classroom, but we ultimately settled on this. We just had to decide which kind of salsa would pretty much.
What was the things that made salsa so attractive to the class? Do you remember?
Well, I don't think it's something that you typically see around the stores downtown. Like, it's mostly baked stuff or frozen candy things. I've seen those around a lot, but salsa is something new.
What recipe did you use? Was it somebody's grandmother's?
It was Miss Clinton's.
Molly, can you tell me where you got the recipe from?
Yeah, for sure. So for our class, we are a semestered school. So we didn't quite have the opportunity to start from scratch from our recipe making. So we started out with some recipes that we knew were canning safe and easily replicated or expanded based on the quantity that we needed. So we knew that the standard recipe could be multiplied so it could produce the quantity that we needed. And then from those recipes, we were able to like fine tune the spiciness, how much garlic we wanted, if we wanted like more cilantro or more tomatoes. So once we had that base recipe, we were able to play with it a bit, but just due to our timelines, we kind of chose from a selection of recipes that we knew could be scalable. There's the word, thank you. That we knew that could be scaled to the degree that we needed for our business.
Callie, did you get to taste test it during this process?
Yeah, a few times, yeah.
What makes a good salsa in your mind?
Well, it can't taste like just water, pretty much. That's
that's true.
It's gonna have something in it. So
now, when you taste tested them, I mean, did you take one and take another and then say, yeah, this is the one that I like?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we did do a class vote of which ones we liked better than the other ones. So that's why we decided on the two that we have now.
Now, how do you determine the market for salsa? Do you remember in class, Callie, what you discussed and who you were aiming for? Who was your customer?
We did do a lot of target customer-based work. So around the time that we started was the market at our school. So it's spring market. So we're... the students can sell whatever they'd like to the community in the gym area. And so that's where we started to sell it there.
And what did you end up deciding in the final analysis once you'd done all this great marketing work?
Yeah, we kind of thought our main kind of target market would really be the parents and the staff of students or staff that work at CCI, just because they were able to connect with the project of it. They could see, the hard work that we put in beforehand. So our target market was really kind of the middle-aged demographic within the school community and beyond. So once we could kind of get our parents and our teachers on board, they were a crucial part in kind of sharing that message to the greater community, along with our support from the Ontario Agriculture Food Venture Centre and the Business and Entrepreneurship Centre Northumberland. They also helped kind of share our message to their audience too, which we really kind of found was the middle-aged kind of working community here in Northumberland.
Callie, how did you determine a price point? How did you decide how much this was going to cost?
There was a pretty big debate on that. So we started off with selling it for $5 or like two for 15, and we moved up to 650 for it just based on how much we put in each jar.
Trissa, I'd like to bring you into the conversation. The Agri-Food Venture Center was involved in this. Can you tell me from the beginning, how were you approached and what was your reaction when they came to you with this idea?
I think Molly approached us along with the Business and Entrepreneurship Center, and they came to us and said, we want to understand what the OAFVC does. We understand that it's a neat, unique asset in the community. Could we come for a tour and get a better understanding of it? So that she brought the class out, and we split the class into groups and had a tour and a talk, and talked about the kinds of clients we help and how we help people start food businesses, and took them on a tour so they could see the place while it's running, while we were working with clients to understand the kinds of work we do, and also so that the students could see that our clients are just regular people. They have a dream about making the world taste better, and leaving their mark on it. And so, yeah, it was a really cool day to come out. And we sort of, I think in that first conversation, as everybody was sort of hustling back to the bus, it was a, like, we think there might be an opportunity here. We're gonna talk about it, but maybe we could do something together, and that would be really cool. And it sort of blossomed from there.
For those listeners who may not know the Venture Center, can you just give us a very brief overview of what it does and a little bit of its history?
Sure. So the Ontario Agri-Food Venture Centre is a 15,000 square foot food factory for shared use. It actually was built, so we're the only municipally owned and operated food factory in Canada. We're built as an outcome of a study that was done by the Economic Development Department for the county in 2011 or so. And we opened May 1st, 2015. So next year we celebrate our 10th anniversary. That's super exciting for us. And every year we help clients from Northumberland and across Ontario to make food products. So we provide a safe, clean space in which people can make what's called a consumer packaged good. So it's not the food that you would get off of DoorDash or Skip the Dishes or out of a restaurant. It's something that you buy in a package. It's a jar of salsa or condiments or smoothie pucks. We have made products. We've had clients that have made products that run the gamut. And our team does all the cleaning. So when you come to use the OAFVC, you walk into a safe, provably clean room, and when you're done your production, you leave and we will clean up. And that's a way that we make sure that the facility is clean for every client to the same standard. And we also have staff on site to help with each client's production. So we're unique in that we're not only going to give you a room to work in, but we're also going to have people available to help you that know how all the equipment works and to help you work through your process.
Which is essential for us because we were learning every step of the process. So it was amazing to be supported by the Ontario Agriculture Food Venture Centre. They had three support workers helping us through each of the stations. The students were involved every step of the way, but they were kind of there to support us. And I think that was the most important piece to this whole project being successful was their support and kind of guidance through those processes.
And it's cool from us because I got to say, sorry, Rob, I've got to say that working with the students, other than the fact that there were so many of you, it was a very normal, the way that the students worked in the kitchen was a normal production cycle. It's exciting for us because the students are learning very literally exactly what they would be doing as entrepreneurs. It's a very true to life experience, which is cool.
Yeah, I did have an exceptional class this semester, so that also made it easier. But yeah, so the students were absolutely phenomenal too in there. Like, they bought into the process, they wanted to be a part of the stations, and they were just all very business minded. So they were had a really great group of students to have this trial program out with.
Several times in our conversation, we've mentioned the Business and Entrepreneur Center. Callie, what kinds of advice did you get from those people when they were participating in this project?
Well, like they said, it was the only one in Ontario that we can do something like this with. And they showed us a bunch of examples of other people who have had their brand grown through their resources there. And again, to name things.
Molly, what was the involvement with the Business and Entrepreneurship Center? Can you tell us how they inserted themselves into this process and how they helped the students?
Yeah, for sure. So I have worked with Kaylin Copeland before on other programs like Summer Company, which provides grants to students who want to start their own business. So when I was just kind of curious about different program options, they were one of the first organizations that popped in my head just to reach out with, and they're pretty well connected with the business scene across Northumberland. So just a really good resource of kind of what's out there. And they were kind of my first stop just to start brainstorming some different things that we could do. It was also awesome. They came into the classroom a couple of times and did some presentations kind of on what the Business and Entrepreneurship Center could provide for students or just for small businesses in general. They also helped us come up with a little bit of a marketing plan and scheme, some different options that we could kind of try out with, and helped us when we formed our marketing groups. So that was awesome too. And then they were a big part in helping us coordinate the relationships between CCI and the OAFBC.
Callie, I want to talk to you about the production process. How do you go from making a batch of salsa in a pot to making 600 jars? How does that work?
That's an interesting question, actually. First off, the pot that I was in is massive. And through that, they have all these pipes that connect to these little machines that actually put them in the jars. Then we have the other students who actually put on the lids, and then it goes onto the cart that we put the logos on it with. And then we have a bunch of people in the back putting them all in boxes. So it's a really quick error process for them with having all these people.
What job did you have in that process?
I was one of the boxers.
Were you?
Yeah.
Now, every jar has a label. Who designed the label?
As a class, we had several different groups that actually worked on it all together.
I was just going to add to that too. So we had a couple students kind of take the lead on our label development and our logo development, and then we really did kind of have a whole class collaboration around it. So we put up a couple of drafts on the board. We'd get some feedback. Everyone would give their kind of 2 cents on the logo or on the labeling. And then they'd take it back, do some rendering. And then we put it back up on the board until everybody in the class was happy with the final product. So I would say, even though like there were maybe 3 or 4 students that did a lot of the like hands-on work, it really truly was the whole class that collaborated to come up with our final product for both our logo and our label, which was really cool to see.
So I understand 600 jars were made. How many of those have you sold?
I think we're well over half. I'm looking at our boxes now and we've made quite a dent. We actually formed a partnership with B&D Liquidation. One of our students works there. And so now community members can purchase their own jar of Simply Salsa at B&D Liquidation if you're looking to test it out and try it out. We also have a community link through our School Cash online program that you can purchase your jars there and pick them up at the school if anybody's interested in trying it out for themselves.
Now, Callie, how many jars have you sold personally? Did you sell any to your family, grandma, grandpa, uncles, aunts, parents, brother, sister?
To be honest, I haven't actually had a chance to go out and do that, but I was planning on buying some just myself.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Going through this, Callie, all of this, what was the best part?
I think actually getting to see it at the end. Pretty cool.
What was the most challenging though?
I'd say probably around the starting point, trying to organize all of this, making the logos was about the hardest.
Molly, what was the best part for you?
I think the best part for me was just seeing the class come together kind of around one idea and see everybody's different perspectives come in and see everyone work together around this one project. We had some exit interviews as kind of one of our final wrap-up assignments. And it was just really interesting to hear what the students got out of the project. And I think a theme that kept coming up was just how the project kind of made the class come together a little bit more than maybe they had predicted. And just having one central project that everyone was a part of and to actually go and do the process themselves, a lot of students commented on how they just were able to get to know each other a little bit better and how they felt like it truly was like a class collaboration project, which can sometimes be hard with group projects in school, but it seemed to have a pretty positive result with all the students. And they really did say like being a part of the process of making the salsa made them more committed to wanting to sell it or made them more committed to wanting to do like the little assignments and parts that came after it. So the actually doing it, helped them become more committed to the business and be able to communicate to even their buyers why they needed to purchase it, or they could tell the story around how it was made. And that was kind of a big part in their kind of buy into the project was the actual making of it.
What was the most challenging part for you, Molly?
I think the challenging part, I haven't really done a project like this before, it was a lot of kind of trial and error. And I really relied on Teresa and Neil, as well as Kaylin and Renee, to help this project really come together and come to fruition. So I think it was just the, you know, we would try something out and it maybe wouldn't really work, or we would come up with an idea in class and then we would try to think about how to implement it logistically. So it was kind of just ironing out all the kinks, but with the amazing support that we have in the community, we were able to get that final product in the classroom.
As an educator, what is the most gratifying part of this exercise?
I think it's just seeing the students being able to implement some of those concepts that we're learning about in class, or kind of seeing the connection between like the theory or the concept and the doing in the business context. So when those kind of aha moments happen, or they start to use the vocabulary or the terminology that we're learning in class, like just in everyday language, as we're talking about selling or doing the things, it's like, okay, it's working, it's sticking.
Will you do something like this in the future, Molly?
Oh, I would love to. Yeah, for sure. Whenever we have an opportunity to work with Teresa or the Business and Entrepreneurship Center, it's always entertaining and it's been a great experience. So would definitely love to do something like this again.
Teresa, would you do this again?
Oh, absolutely. I wish all Northumberland High Schools had a teacher as passionate and dedicated as Molly and a class that is as engaged and excited to do some hands-on work and come out and have the benefit of, you know, having a literal taste of entrepreneurship, but also having an opportunity to do a fundraising campaign that helps the school and is also, like Molly said, a really great team building opportunity for the class themselves. That's really cool. And my team, absolutely, the team of staff here at the Venture Center, we all get really excited when we get to work with young people and just help them understand how many opportunities there really are to do something really different and cool.
Right here in Northumberland, you message too, you know.
Callie, has this changed your perspective of business, what business involves, might being a business person? Has it influenced that?
I think so, yeah. Like, before this class, I definitely wouldn't have considered doing anything in the business field. But actually seeing the process it's neat. So maybe I could do something like that in the future. I don't know.
Molly Clintworth, Callie Lanzo, Teresa Miller, thank you all so much for talking to me today.
Thank you very much.
That was Molly Clintworth, a teacher at Coburg Collegiate Institute. Callie Lanzo, a grade 12 student who participated in the SALSA project, and Teresia Meller, manager, Ontario Agri-Foods Venture Center. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.